Hello. Thank you for listening to and watching You at Options. This episode, I have Hannah and Brian Burks on. They do a lot of, they put on a lot of shows, punk rock shows here in Birmingham. Very involved in the art scene here. They help out a lot at a local shop here called Birmingham Oddities, which has a lot of cool stuff in it. Cool art. Yeah. Check them out at Hannah Ollie Burks, B-U-R-X. And also check out Brian Burks, at Brian Burks. Yeah, great conversation. Really enjoyed it. Talk about all the stuff, all the shows they have coming up. Yeah. Hope you enjoy. Make sure you go follow You at Options, at You at Options, on Instagram. And I'll tweet dumb stuff every once in a while. So on the Twitter. Gosh. Your cat's trying to break into this room right now. So I need to wrap this up before they go. Kick the wall down. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy. Thanks for watching. Make sure to subscribe. Follow us. All that good stuff. Yeah. Enjoy.
Now we are ready.
Yay! Oh my gosh.
Hannah and Brian, hello.
How's it going, man?
It's good. How are y'all?
We're good.
Doing pretty good today.
Yeah? Y'all out and about in Birmingham today?
Today we are taking it easy. After this, we're going to pick up our daughter and go to the gym.
Nice. Yeah. You don't have to tell me what location, but what gym do y'all go to?
What gym? Anytime, something.
Workout
anytime? Hell yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. You guys, since moving to Birmingham, y'all seem to be constantly doing stuff. I just see on Facebook.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to make it
that's
up to
That's where
the
I
show
tell
yet.
People to look. It's, yeah. That's where it's at. You'll find all the information on Facebook.
So, you guys, what all... You book a true story.
Yeah, I try to not call myself a booker or promoter. I'm an event organizer.
Okay.
Because once in a while I'll book a band just for a show.
Yeah.
If I like them a lot, but for the most part, if I'm gonna put something together, I'll come up with like a full idea.
Yeah.
You know, have artists, vendors, bands, and try to rather than just book a band because they're coming through on a Tuesday.
Right. Yeah.
Because it just generally doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
We're into the production side.
I like it. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, y'all have it all squared away with, like, yeah, flyer art and promotion. And
yeah, it's doing everything in one place helps because we're not constantly trying to learn a new place and trying to figure out, you know, how to get people to a new place or whatever. So that helps us stay consistent.
Was True Story doing, like, metal punk shows before y'all?
No, not at all.
Brian's always wanted to do, like, monthly things because we didn't used to do punk rock art shows as often as we did them in the past year.
Yeah, they used to be like every 3 months to every 2 months, depending on what was going on.
So it's definitely in the past, I'd say 14 to 16 months, just we've doubled and tripled by adding a monthly metal night and a monthly punk night, and then kind of everybody wanting to come and do more. So we had like a punk rock art show every month almost. Mm. So,
yeah.
It's since we started doing stuff there, it's a lot more consistent. They're very open to things monthly.
Very open to us too. They're super nice to us. Shout out to Craig and Anna at True Story because they're so nice.
Yeah,
they let us do all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, I'd imagine they trust y'all by now. Y'all aren't gonna have like
Before we did stuff there, before COVID, we did stuff at Brennan's. It was an Irish pub.
Mm-hmm.
And when they shut down because of COVID,
yeah.
They sold a bunch of their stuff to True Story.
Okay.
So as we're watching Brennan's go apart, like the owner's Danny, he's like, go over here and talk to this guy because he's cool and he's getting all of our stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So eventually we made our way over there.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing about Birmingham too. It's like, yeah, there's like scene politics and drama everywhere, but it seems like a lot of people like to help each other.
Oh yeah. Here. It's like a small town, kind of, you know, for a city.
Yeah.
It's a big small town. We try to avoid anything like that by just like focusing on having the best music that we can, I think. Having the most fun we can.
Yeah.
There's always some drama or politics, but
of course,
try to keep in the peripheral. And
yeah. People are people. People get weird and say dumb stuff. And
oh, yeah.
Whatever, you know?
Yeah, there's something every week.
Yeah, I feel that.
Something I'm having to deal with.
Yeah. I remember we played Brennan's once, and I remember it was, like, the worst, like, parking.
Oh, yeah, parking. We had the back area, and it was just, like,
you know,
20 cars, mm-hmm. and then after that, you're on your own.
Yeah, having a van trying to, like, navigate this tiny ass parking lot.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. True Story. That's for sure.
Something you don't think about too as a band, probably, like when you're traveling, like where you might have to unload at. You're like, oh man.
Yeah.
People hit me up. I'm in the middle, so I'm like, where do we park? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're in Five Points. I don't know. There's a parking deck. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that. Yeah. It's it does. I don't know. You try and think of like, is this a two-story place, and is there like old rickety stairs I have to carry this humongous cab up?
One of the coolest places used to be the Syndicate Lounge.
Oh yeah.
But to load in there was
terrible.
It was just crazy steep steel stairs in the back
outside,
and like,
yeah.
I remember just pulling boxes of art up in the rain and just like trying not to slide down and break my neck.
that was terrible. Yeah. And it's sorry, the cats are like cats. My new friends are out there. I need to see them.
I made too good of an impression on
you.
The
did
cats.
You should have snubbed them whenever you walked in. Yeah. You were talking about ladies' night. What is that?
So in March on the 25th, Saturday the 25th, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bands, including my band, Overseasons. So we have Triangle Fire, Future Hate, Occult Fracture, and Lipstick Stains.
Okay.
And me.
Yeah, Future.
Cool. So that's all female fronted vocals.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's cool.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, they're all pretty intense.
Yeah.
But they're all nobody, I think I'm probably the tamest.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm more on the like skate punk. I don't
just
know.
Chilling.
I'm not, all the other bands are definitely some hardcore vocals and some crazy breakdowns, mm-hmm. and it's gonna be a heavy show.
Yeah, I know Future Hate from Mobile, Miranda.
She's Pixie, awesome.
Their singer, yeah.
They're fun. They brought the heat last time they came, and I really wanted them to come back, and I think this is just their second time, so I'm really excited they're coming.
Triangle Fire, too.
Triangle Fire is like my favorite.
Destroy the room.
They will destroy the room. It's going to be amazing. I love them so much.
Where are they from?
They're in Athens, Georgia. So everybody actually is from somewhere not Birmingham on that show, too.
Yeah.
Lipstick Stains is coming from...
Nashville. I think it's Nashville, and I think...
Occult Fractures, maybe Chattanooga.
Or Nashville.
Right.
Okay.
I could be saying that wrong.
Southeast.
But definitely everybody's coming for that show, so I'm excited for it.
That's cool.
We just had, over a couple months, we just had all these awesome women singers, and she was we should do some of all
together.
Yeah,
I just wanted to, like, rock it out with everybody.
That's cool. Have you guys felt like a momentum with every show y'all are doing?
Yeah, somewhat. It kind of ebbs and flows. Yeah. But over the last year, our audience has gotten a lot younger. So
that's
good.
I mean,
future. Yeah, we've got 16 to 18 year olds starting up new bands, and like that were the kids that were in the pit like a week ago. Now they've got a band that wants to book a show. So it's cool to see that, and it does ebb and flow. But it seems like we're constantly going, wow, that was the best thing we've done.
Yeah.
So it's definitely keeps getting more interesting.
Yeah. That's a cool thing, because a lot of like scenes or promoters like don't focus on the next wave or whatever. 'Cause
you
just stop with like the age group that you know, that you're in or whatever.
I want people who are already in bands, who've been successful, to keep being successful. But I definitely want to see a surge of, you know, people who want to do more music or more art around me. And that's usually going to be from kids. So I like seeing, you know, teenagers come up to me and be like, yeah, that was a cool show. I'm going to start a band now. Or I want to make art so I can sell art at your shows.
Definitely
something that makes me want to keep doing what we're doing, because I like encouraging that.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, you, speaking for myself, like, you get older, you get crotchety, you get a little jaded, or a lot jaded.
I love seeing 50-year-old dudes in the pit, kind of slowly pushing each other around, but there's something about, like, a 16-year-old just whipping themselves without any regard for tomorrow's back injury, you know?
Younger people, like, are more stoked off of seeing a band live, you know?
For sure.
It is cool to see like a 55-6-year-old raging in a pit, you know, after like 6 PBRs, just having a great time, patting a kid on the back, you know, just you're like, yeah, you still got it. It's cool.
Like sweat everywhere.
Crowd killing these. Yeah, I gotcha. It's
funny you talk about that. We went to see L7 recently. And, okay. You know, they have a song about like a redneck crowd killing. Mm-hmm. And there was literally a dude doing the exact thing that they have a song about and had to get like ejected from their show.
He had to get ejected from the crowd.
The crowd was like so nice and chill, and there's just like this big monsters dude just like crowd killing, like hitting girls in the face and stuff.
Life imitates art.
It's true.
Yeah. Luckily, we don't see stuff like that around here too often.
Yeah. Not very often.
Yeah. The one show we played, the punk rock night that you put on, the art show, it was crazy. Because there's like, whenever 18-year-olds coming up to us and be like, I remember being 18, 17 and going to shows and thinking like these touring bands are like fucking just rock stars.
Totally
like,
cool.
Yeah. You know, it's funny to be on the opposite side of that and be like, fuck, I just want like gas money. And like, I don't know.
I agree. Yeah. I'm on the other side of that in lots of different ways. Now it's funny. I got like teenage girls and boys like talking to me like I'm a cool teacher, you know?
yeah, it's weird. I don't know, but it's cool what y'all are doing, because like, who, you know, somebody's got to do it, and somebody who loves it has to.
Yeah, there's definitely like a lot going on around. There's something around here right now, just in general, like what we're doing.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of other stuff happening too. There's like a lot of energy with, you know, actual music right now.
Yeah,
which is cool to see.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like, or a lot more like DIY. Spaces and you know,
I think a lot more people are also just figuring out that, you know, if they want to do something that they can, that there's just more steps than maybe realize. And you just gotta like do them, and that's good because people are doing more things. I like people to do things. I always like there to be lots of options, because that means that your city and your where you're at is thriving.
Yeah
There's sometimes where we have a show and I'm looking at all the things going on, I'm kind of worried. I'm like, man, there's a show over at Firehouse, there's a show over here, there's something at Saturn, and then we still have a full house, and I'm like seeing the pictures from those shows and they're full. And I'm like, well, there's enough to go around for everybody around
that
here.
That feels
right
amazing.
Now.
I love that to be like everybody have a full, like, you know, to come to fruition with that.
Yeah, it's not like that everywhere, for sure.
It wasn't like that for a long time here either. So.
Yeah.
I feel like out-of-town bands compliment us on that a lot. They're like, wow. Even if they play other, like, Saturn or some of these other places, you know, we hear back that Birmingham is cool.
It's become a more of a spot for bigger bands and, like, bands that are on the come up, you know.
Yeah, before they quit coming here.
We only go to Atlanta.
We just go, we might hit Huntsville now.
Yeah. Huntsville's blowing up too.
Yeah, it's always Huntsville gets like this, like, because people just don't quite want to come down here. They'll catch bands that we would, you know, would be awesome to have here, but they'll have them playing some crazy weird place in Huntsville instead.
Yeah,
like X played, you know, Low Mill. Like they just get weird shows sometimes it would be rad to see here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely been like overwhelming, not overwhelming, but just like, damn, moving here to Birmingham has been like shit. There's like shows every night of the week sometimes.
Yeah, I know I got friends that are like, I'm sorry, I can't come out to everything. I'm like, if you did, you'd be weird. Like, how could you come out to everything? Like, I can't go,
weird.
I can barely go out to anything. I don't like have to go out to at this point. There's so much.
Yeah.
Because we put on
4 to 6 things a month usually.
Yeah. Plus, we also have other jobs.
So right. Yeah.
We have other things. Going on.
Our friends do shows. Like our friend Ricky Tate, he does the Alabama Jubilee. That's a true story.
And it's, what is that?
It's like the Jug Slammers play.
Okay.
Play like classic style jug music.
Picking fun stuff.
Yeah. Picking and grinning. And he always brings in like somebody else from like Tennessee or someone else, some other sort of folk musician.
Okay.
And then Hannah will dance.
Yeah,
and,
usually belly dance or do some sort of act to entertain everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more of a chill.
Okay.
I always tell people, yeah, if you're not sure, you should come to the Jubilee because it's definitely more of a chill vibe.
We leave the tables out for that one.
Yeah, okay. you can sit down at that one. You don't have to be in the mosh pit.
Yeah. Do you do like belly dancing shows? Like, is that a thing? I don't know how that works.
For the last 4 years, I've been performing at like punk rock art shows.
Yeah.
With, like, just whatever he asked me to do. So I took all my Arab belly dance and just transpired that into doing some punk belly dance on the side.
Some metal stuff.
And some metal belly dance. So I throw it in.
I like to find weird songs. Be like, here, Policia by Sepultura.
See what you can do. That? Yeah.
It definitely helps. Yeah. It helps entertain everybody because it's just something different and extra. And every now and then I can bring something really cultural to the room that like everybody's like, oh, that was like totally different and interesting. And I like being able to do that. I don't dance as much in the winter because it's cold. So summertime, I feel like I dance almost at every punk rock art show.
Dancing season. Summer. Yeah.
She hosts a lot of it.
Okay.
I like to do a lot of talking.
So okay.
I don't mind talking.
Okay. So, yeah. So you get a microphone, you're just introducing.
She has a wireless mic through the whole show.
Okay, just like, walking around.
Make sure to remind people to tip their bartenders. You know, tell my sound guy, my security people, my door people, thank you. I get up there and like introduce or outro the bands.
Yeah.
Or like remind people that there's merch or artists. It's a lot. I also do all the door stuff, so I get all the wristbands, all the money. I like go back and like check through all that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like, I always call it politicking. I'm politicking around the show usually while he's making sure everything's running smoothly.
Yeah. Do you sometimes get like a big broom like at Showtime at the Apollo? And if somebody's like real bad, you just
that's all brush him. Them off? And the sound guy.
Yeah, I usually go over there and tell my sound guy like they got one song. Get him off. It's like, yeah, I've really tightened up this last year. Like, I've been doing shows for a long time, and just in the last year, I've gotten real, real strict. I'm like, you have 25 minutes, and you got to get off, because I found that we'd have like 5 bands, and the last band would be playing for like 6 drunk people.
Yeah, yeah.
And like we'd lose the audience because like one band in the beginning.
Even if it was a band people wanted to see.
Yeah, they'd be having a good time, but they'd push over 10 minutes, and the whole thing gets pushed 10 minutes, and you just lose a chunk of your audience at a certain point. It's all good. Ever since I've been doing like, you know, when we do a group, I'm like, you have this, you know, this is how this shit should run, and maybe we push it back 15 minutes or something if like the audience just isn't there. But
punk rock time. Yeah.
But making people get off after their whatever the allotted time is has made all the shows run so much better.
Yeah, it's,
people like to get there, watch what they. I mean, I don't know if that's post COVID or just life now, but we have people show up, you know, and they're there for the time to start, and they are ready for it.
They're there at like 6 p.m. ready.
Yeah,
especially in the summer. This last summer, people were there at 5:30, standing there like, waiting for the show to start. And we were just like, "What the hell?" Like, we start at 6, and people are here early. We have to get our door going.
Yeah,
which it was a good problem to have because be home in bed at 11.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I've like 30 minutes. Like, that's like, that's all you should be.
Yeah.
If you're doing more than 30 minutes.
Five bands, it's 25 minutes. And it's like sweet. Like, if they get off and people still want more, that's like a good thing. You shouldn't wear the audience out. And that's a lot of bands will wear an audience out.
Yes.
Like, you want to leave them.
Put them to sleep.
Like, yes. We've played many a show where like the band's going on for 45 minutes and it's like, we got 3 more. I'm like,
unless you're a band that everyone's got posters of and all your CDs and a tattoo of, no one wants to see you for 45
minutes. Hell no.
It sucks too because you don't want to be like upsetting anybody, and you hate to be the person. So it's usually me and the sound person like looking at Brian like, now we don't have to do that as much, but when we first started like minimizing everybody's time, we were a little like, okay, like, remember we said like we're gonna cut it off now.
You don't want to piss them off while they're on stage and you know, you don't want to.
Now it's a little easier. Now we're like, we said it, it's done.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, tell the people, you got 25 minutes. I'm going to tell you, you got one song left, two songs, whatever.
I've noticed, since I've been just telling people, like, flat out, here it is, and saying this is strict, like, they don't look at me like I'm crazy.
Not sure. No.
Whereas used to, I'd have people looking at me like, but they're all having fun. Like, we got two more. I'm like.
But I love having the last band have such a big audience. It's way more fun that way.
Yeah, you don't want the last band coming on and playing for just the drunkest, most diehards.
Right.
You want them to have a good audience for everybody to leave, kind of like, man, that's it.
Yeah.
I like hearing that at the end. That's it. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, yep, that's it. Go home.
That's it.
And be here next week.
Come on
the
next
one. Yeah. How far out do you start booking stuff?
I'm like 8 months booked.
Damn.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
nice. It's a good problem to have.
Used to, it was a few months at the most. Now it's just like so many people have hit me up. I'm just like, well, here, keep pushing it further and further. So hopefully nothing happens where we do shows.
Have you thought about, I know true stories like home base, have you thought about trying expanding, or is it?
We've got some sort of, some tentative plans for the future. But like, as long as we can do stuff there, we will be doing stuff there, because they're super awesome. And it's like, why put all of the burden on you to do everything if you can just like split it with somebody else that's good?
Yeah.
But if eventually we have a place with a basement, there'll definitely be something happening.
Okay. That's cool.
We like music.
Yeah.
We run the Oddity Shop. Our friend Adam owns We run Birmingham Oddities. I'm doing tattoos now.
Yeah.
We sell art. So eventually putting a lot of things in one place.
Things are going to come together in a different way, I imagine. But shows will definitely probably follow with us wherever we go.
How long have y'all been at the Oddity Shop?
During COVID? During COVID, all the pop-up art shows around town stopped, and my friend Adam, who's been like the biggest supporter of just like helping me throw big shows, mm-hmm. and just like buying art from artists, and like just, he's a huge local art supporter.
He's produced other things with us, different events and things.
Yeah,
that's cool.
He's a good friend, but he just said, why don't you just come in here and like you guys can
do your thing.
Go, because he used to live in the Oddity Shop. It was an apartment with like a chunk of it was a shop, and he was open for four hours a week.
Yeah.
And then he got a house. And then so now he had just this space sitting here.
Yeah.
So we just went in there and we got three of our like most reliable artists to like help us run it. And we all just run it on co-op style.
Okay.
And then he built a ton of shelves. So we started renting out shelves. Now we've got, how many people do you got on your list?
Maybe like 80 artists in the shop.
And then another 40 with consignment stuff probably just scattered throughout. There's at least 100 people.
All Birmingham people?
For the most part.
Or like just outskirts. Okay. My friend Ray from New Jersey's got some stuff.
We got a few people that are not Birmingham, but most of it's local, and it's all just a variety. It's a variety of things. If you haven't ever been to Birmingham Oddities, it's definitely different than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, you walk in and it's all like skulls and dead things and specimens, and then on the other side it's just
you keep going and we
art curated stuff,
like
handmade jewelry,
nostalgic stuff, just all kinds of.
My brother used to live above it in those apartments like up there.
Oh yeah, in the lofts.
Yeah, and so we would go there every once in a while, but that was probably like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's a lot more now.
Yeah, it was a little bit it was like small, so every now and then somebody comes in and they're like, "Whoa, you guys expanded." I'm like, "Yes, not only do I have more space, but I have more stuff in here too. We have like
He let us do that during COVID and it like really helped a lot of artists out, because a lot of people are making, you know, a chunk of their money just doing pop-up shows, art walks, and punk rock art shows, and just vending at different things.
Yeah.
And there was nothing going on, so everybody was just sitting there with all their stuff trying to sell it online every day.
And it's also interesting to, like, sell things for other people in that way and then be like, yay, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, wow, that's awesome. Like, you had my stuff at the shop, and I got to sell an item that was cool. Like, that's a good feeling, too.
Yeah, helping artists sell their art.
Yeah.
Especially artists that aren't good at it.
Yeah, some people are not good at selling their stuff. They don't know what to do.
Never mind. I interpret that as like good at art. I was like,
they're good at art, but they're not good at selling their stuff. Okay. Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, selling your art.
Turn off the camera. I'll tell you. No.
off mic. No,
a lot of artists are just bad at selling because they're great at sitting and making art, but they're introvert type people.
Yeah, it's weird, like trying to be like, "Hey, you want to look at this art?"
Yeah, a lot of bands and the same way, they feel weird plugging themselves.
I'm giving us access to the shop. I think probably was just a very needed thing too, because a lot of those people would have never done that or pursued any more of their art if we hadn't had that space.
Yeah.
So now so many people are like, "Well, yeah, I make art," and they may not even set up anywhere, but they sell their stuff at our shop.
Yeah. My son's mother, Bridget, she you know, she started doing art and started helping us at the shop, and she's like
amazing.
It's amazing nice. What she's doing now. And
she does like little dioramas.
I didn't even know her to be artistic 5 years ago, like at all. And now she's doing stuff I could never do. I'm like, yeah. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's nice to see people have a space to do weird stuff.
That's cool. Do they sell the oddity, like the weird stuff in there though?
Oh yeah.
Okay. We sell the stuff. If people ask,
sold human brains. I sold a coffin the other day, like a
baby coffin.
A full size old school. Like, I mean, it was an old coffin that had a human skeleton in it. She couldn't afford the human skeleton, so I had to take the human skeleton out of the coffin and then load the coffin into her Corolla for her.
Mm. Yes,
I'm pretty sure I brought the value down a little bit.
Yes,
putting a coffin in the Corolla.
I think it's necessary to have something like that in your city, though. Like, you know.
Oh yeah.
That's a story for somebody that definitely needs to travel.
Yeah. There's this place in Savannah called Grayface Museum, and they're like kind of similar to that. But I don't think you can buy like the stuff there. They got like curators, display. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And they've got like John Wayne Gacy's sweatpants from prison, stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Make our way there.
Yeah, it's cool.
Interesting.
Where are you tattooing?
Right now, I'm in Montevallo.
Okay.
Brandy Lee's been teaching me, but we're gonna eventually figure something closer to home out.
That'd be cool.
If you're interested in tattoos, though, obviously you can hit him up on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
He'll talk to you about the tattoos.
Hell yeah. Are you apprenticing?
Or is it... I'm told I'm not an apprentice anymore.
Oh, okay.
I was told to stop using that word when I said it yesterday during an interview.
Okay.
I was told, nope, you're
you're not. Full,
he still has a mentor, but full-blooded. He's tattooing. So.
Okay, yeah.
It's good to
always have a mentor.
I like having her there still, like, it's very useful to have somebody there constantly when you're doing something that important. Like,
for sure.
Even if it's just like body placement or like where the tattoo's placed or how to put them on the table.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little things. It's real nice to have an experienced
friend
with you.
Yeah. It's like getting tattooed. You don't, I guess as the person getting tattooed, you don't think about that stuff.
Oh yeah. There's so much I've been tattooed for years from people and I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't put like all the factors and there's so much that goes into it. Like painting's like real one dimensional.
Yeah.
The tattooing, you're thinking about 50 things. Like,
yeah.
There's so much going on.
And, like, how the skin is constantly, like, moving. You got it.
Yeah, skin's moving. You got the depth, the pressure, the speed. There's a lot. Everyone's skin's completely different.
Yeah.
Like, you tattoo one person, and it's just like butter. And it's like the next person, you're having to just drill it.
A rhino.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's crazy, the difference. But it's fun because you're going into it every day, and, like, you think you have a plan, and it's, like, always something different happens.
Have you had like something go completely sideways?
I had one of my friends pass out on me.
Ah, okay.
Which was a good experience because it was a friend of mine. So she passed out, her husband caught her, and I was like, okay, I've had that happen now.
Yeah.
Now I know what to look for and how to deal with it.
Yeah.
That was probably the most like, okay, this is kind of scary.
Okay.
But
get her like a Nature Valley and some almonds or whatever, and then
a little rest.
Yeah.
Reposition and stuff. Yeah, she was all right. She did good. But nah, I think everything's went pretty well so far. I haven't screwed anything up.
That's cool. I saw this weird video on Instagram. Maybe y'all have seen it, of this guy getting tattooed, and he's just like, I don't know if he's drunk or he's like barred out or something, but he's just like, and he's like peeing on himself. The guy's like, I don't think I can tattoo you, man.
Yeah, I'd have to tap out on that.
Have you seen that? Somebody just like, all right, obviously this person's messed up somehow, in some way.
No, because pretty much I'm only doing appointment-only tattoos.
Yeah.
It's almost, I've pretty much only tattooed my friends and like a couple of people that I know, just, you know, like,
much like our audience for our shows.
Okay.
For art, I think all the tattoo stuff is just funneled into us, or him being mostly appointment, because that just tended to work out with his art the best.
I was tattooing.
Trying to do other people's art.
I was doing some friends in a band one night, and one of their wives had a little more alcohol than I was used to, and I was like, she all right, but she was fine.
Yeah.
It was the only time I thought for a second maybe this might be weird because he's had something to drink. But
yeah, and like, you know, it thins your blood.
Yeah,
you
know, I was worried about that, but it was fine. Like, it was pretty normal.
Yeah.
She's laid there.
She's laid there.
She's laid there and got tattooed. But yeah, I've heard that about the thinning your blood and bleeding more, but I haven't
haven't had any partiers like really need to be tattooed, so it's been fine.
Yeah, one of my first big tattoos, I made the mistake of like having some shots before, it is just not knowing like that was gonna happen. Like,
oh yeah,
get your blood thin and you start like, whoa, fuck,
whoa,
like, I'm feeling woozy.
Yeah, I'm telling everyone make sure they eat, because I used to kind of think it was exaggerated before I tattooed, like, oh, I would pass out if I didn't eat, but you can't control your blood sugar.
Nah, man.
Like, you cannot control it.
And bring a Snickers bar or something.
Yeah, or more than that. Like, that's my friend that passed out. She'd only had a Snickers, actually.
Damn it.
I was like, no, full meals.
Eat a full Snickers. I hate Snickers now. Yeah.
Full meals are good.
Yeah. So, what's the, like, biggest tattoo you've done so far?
I think I did something on a lady's thigh, like a cool hummingbird with like a lot of flourish and stuff. I think that's okay. Probably the biggest one.
That's like maybe the biggest one space. Sitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny's leg you just did though, that's bigger.
Oh yeah, I just did my friend had done a tattoo on himself 30 years ago in prison with a single needle.
Love it.
And it was crazy what he did with a single needle over 3 days. I mean, big thick lines.
Amazing. Sure. Yeah.
And I went over the entire thing the other day, so that's probably the biggest. So I went over his entire tattoo.
It is very full too, so it's big.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a big tattoo. It looks great.
Big gnarly bones and, you know, ugly stuff. It's fun.
Okay. People just reach out to you on Instagram?
Yeah, is Instagram or Facebook. Okay. At first, I was only doing my own designs, but now I'm a little more open to other people's ideas.
Yeah. What do you mean, like, somebody?
Like, if you have an idea, if you know.
Oh, if just, I was like.
He might.
Yeah, just like throwing some words at me. And
oh, okay.
Trying to get me to come up with something.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Or sending me something and, like, having me, like, use that as a reference and change it up a little bit. I'm more open to that. At first, I was like, no, just my designs.
Doing, like flash sheets and.
Yeah, I'm trying to do my own stuff so people pick out things that, you know,
that's cool.
I came up with and I'm comfortable with.
He's done a lot of, like, just flash that you could choose from. We've got, like, a nice book. I need to make sure it's at shows with us so people can flip through it.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, like, the friends you're tattooing? Has it been people that you've met through all your other ventures?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Mostly. I will go to shows and I'm looking around. I'm like, I've tattooed everyone in this room almost now. Like, I'm just like slowly but surely getting to most of the people that I'm friendly with.
Yeah. That's cool. Do you have a, what music do you play when you tattoo? This is a big thing for me.
I've got like a couple different playlists. It depends on the mood of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Lately I've been putting on like 90s hip hop.
Like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've got a playlist that has a bunch of like 80s country and punk rock and
okay.
a real weird mix. Like,
yeah.
Like some Wookiee foot hippie stuff. It has like just a mix of all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Just to throw people off a little bit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, doing some whippets, getting tattooed. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's. Is like. So is it just you and your mentor there? Or are there other.
There's a walk in artist. She's there. And then there's also another part time artist occasionally. So.
Cause, yeah, it's always.
Usually it's me or Brandy controlling the music, though. Like.
Yeah, because I've been to some places where it's like the huge barbershop style and there's just like 10 tattooists in there.
Imagine having to get along for that music.
Yeah, it's...
Agree. Yeah, where we're at right now is like we're all in a room like this size.
Yeah.
Just maybe, yeah, about this size. There's four of us at a time.
Yeah.
They definitely don't like our music always.
But. Yeah, but it's like, God, I've been tattooed sometimes in like a setting like that where it's like, a lot of tattooers, whatever. And,
yeah, it depends on where you stand on that. Tattoo artist, tattooers.
Yeah. I remember, like, one of my first experiences was, like, they're playing some industrial, like, KMFDM or some weird industrial. I'm like, I'm already, like, nervous about getting tattooed.
I've had a lot of that too, where people play really heavy, aggressive music, and you're like, "I'm already getting beat up here."
Yeah, I'm already like,
I'd rather have some
so
little,
anxious
take me a little out of this. Yeah, I try not to play like just heavy stuff because I do think if you're getting tattooed and it hurts, just hearing,
you like start like just
spiraling,
anxiety
into it.
Spiral. Yeah.
Yeah, I try to keep it moving so it's not like one kind of music because I don't like hearing one album while I'm getting tattooed. Someone puts on like. You know, I don't know, one album of one style of music,
yeah.
and that's all you listen to for 3 hours while you're getting tattooed.
Oh, yeah.
I don't enjoy that.
It's, yeah. Yeah, and that's another, like...
I've got a friend who tattooed me. He made me listen to the Unabomber's audiobook while we were getting tattooed.
No. Couldn't do it.
It was a good experience.
It was interesting. I was like, all right, man, whatever makes you comfortable.
Nah, man. Just put, I don't know, put on some, like, 80s synth wave or something. I don't know, something soft. I need something softer in here.
Yeah, Brandy, my mentor, she'll play like, she plays like all, everything, like rap and country and like the stuff that goes both ways. I don't know, it's all different stuff than I would listen to, but it moves around enough that it's good, I think.
Yeah, that's another, like, having more forethought and like,
yeah, I definitely think about what I'm gonna play
the thing. Yeah,
especially if I'm tattooing a punk rock tattoo on a punk rock person, I'm gonna play something that at least in that realm of what they like. So they feel like they're getting a, you know, cool experience, kind of.
Some people just don't think about like experience.
Yeah.
Like whether it's like the shows y'all are doing or like tattooing, some people, and that's that kind of like a litmus test or like whatever, a filter of like, okay, this person probably isn't going to be booking shows for long or they're going to be booking terrible shows, whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense if you're just throwing like bands on a bill and not thinking about like the overall what it's going to be like standing there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have like certain playlists for our live shows that we go through and curate. Like we have a punk rock art show playlist, we have a metal night playlist. Like we know exactly what it's going to sound like between the bands too.
Yeah.
Like we know that there's like silly songs on there that are going to weird people out on purpose, you know.
Yeah, but it's
every now and then it's good to have one of those.
yeah, a little screwball or whatever in there, curveball.
Yeah, we got some like reggaeton on our punk rock night so that her and my friend Willie can just break a dancer dancing.
We start dancing to the reggaeton music and everybody's like, all right, this is interesting. Something new.
You put on like, you know, Whitney Houston, Want to Dance with Somebody. Like, I don't care where you're from.
Yeah, as I say, Girls Everybody Just Loves That Song comes on too. It's on the punk rock playlist. So.
Yeah, don't care where you're from, who you are. You're gonna like the,
yeah.
Everybody loves that. But you have a band, Hannah?
I do. I have a band. Seasons. I have played, but not played with my current musicians.
Okay.
So I sang a lot with my friends Ricky Tate and Jeremy Johnson, who are in a band called Pedestrian Unrest. Okay. And that band's been around for a long time and had lots of other members. And I think they brought it back like a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I sang with them last year. And then I was like, hey, I want to start a band. And they kind of helped me get started. And now I have a new formation of my band. And we're playing for the first time on the ladies' night on March 25th. So I have Willie Nash on guitar, Briley Bell on bass, Emery Madden on drums, who is an almost high school student. So I have a very young drummer.
13, right?
He's about to be 14.
He's about to be 14.
He's very good. His family is a family of musicians.
Okay.
And then I've got Ricky Tate on guitar as well still. So he was on drums. He plays the drums for Pedestrian Unrest, but he plays guitar for me.
Okay.
So I got Emery now on my drums, and he is about to be 14, like I just said. So I got a bunch of interesting people in my band, an eclectic mess.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's a cool band. Three of them, it's their first, or Emery's been in a couple of bands, but Willie and Bradley, I don't think have been in bands.
Yeah, Bradley plays a lot of acoustic stuff and has written music for a while, but he's never been in a band, I don't think.
Yeah.
Willie, our good friend, has been playing guitar for a while, but he's never been in any kind of band.
Yeah.
And he's doing great, so this will be his first kind of experience to get out there and play music for people.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I like a lot of different styles of music. I'm definitely trying to incorporate some ska punk and some other things that I like. But I'm also just trying to curate it to the audience that we have, because I have a lot of cool people who like to hang out at our shows, and I want them to think our music is fun and awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm really mostly making music right now kind of focused on that.
Okay.
Which is fun.
That's cool.
Making stuff they can skank to and break
down. Break down and mosh and hit each other and run up on stage and steal the mic from me and then, you know, jump off the thing and, you know, all those things. All those fun things that they do. I just want to encourage that with whatever.
Yeah, a lot of the shows are very, like, family almost. Like all the bands know. Yeah. Like a lot of people are singing with each other. They all know each other's songs and stuff. So yeah. Just trying to like kind of cater to that and push in that direction.
Yeah. It's really fun too. I like being able to sing because I've been dancing for my whole life.
Yeah.
And singing is a little bit more nerve wracking, but it's still done with your body. So
why is singing what do you think that is?
I think it's a little bit more nerve wracking because everybody can hear you.
Ooh.
you know what I mean? Like it's just, there's no, you know, once you open your mouth, you're being heard, just like being perceived. So I think I think it's harder to open your mouth and sing than it is to just get out there maybe and just play guitar. People who play guitar immediately tell me like it's harder to play guitar and sing at the same time than it is to just play the guitar.
For sure.
So singing adds a totally new thing to my performance art that I've been, you know, kind of working on. So I have lots of experience performing, but singing is new and I really like it.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying kind of exploring all the different things I can do with my voice.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, getting out of...
She's going to do a bunch of cool stuff, too. She's doing some stuff with Chris from Ginky Ginky Panic. I always mess that up when I try to say it.
It's a tough name. Yeah.
He has to say, I guess we're going to shout out.
Yeah, and she's going to may record some stuff in May.
I am going to record some stuff.
We're going to go to Phoenix.
There you go.
Our friend Bill, he was in Authority Zero.
Okay.
He was a founding member of Authority Zero, nice. And now they've got another band. Say it. It's a Spanish name.
Sierra Viejo.
Yeah, I'll say it wrong.
What does that mean?
It means old zeros, because the guys in it are original Authority Zero members.
Okay.
Authority Zero still tours the world, and they're still pretty big, but the original members are in Phoenix, and they're making
I got to meet them when we went out west last year. I got to meet Bill, and that's where my band name came from. So Over Seasons is the name of a song from an Authority Zero album. I can't remember which album.
Passage in Time.
So that song, Over Seasons, really resonated with me, and I liked the weird like juxtaposition of how that sounds.
Yeah.
So that's why I named my band that. I like it.
That's cool.
So hopefully I record a song. I wrote some lyrics for a song they have called Gumbo Surprise. The band is Sierra Viejo. You can find them on Spotify.
Okay.
He did some art. Brian did some art for them. They covered Rolling Stones' Mother's Little Helper. Which is an interesting cover as well.
Yeah, Bill's a really
interesting
guitar player.
The singer from Authority Zero is sang that song.
Oh, yeah, Jason DeVore.
Yeah, he sang for that. I might cover that too with them. So, that's cool. I like
That's cool.
Yeah.
So this will be your first time like recording?
I've recorded with our friend Justin Stokes, who is a local wonderful artist who has also been in the production side of music for a long time.
Yeah.
He's done things with Ricky and other musicians locally. I recorded one EP that I released, I guess, on a comp with 8UP Records. So I recorded one song with him. That's all I've recorded. And so this will be more of, when I record in Out West, it'll be a little bit of a different experience. I think this will be like a studio experience. It will be my first time trying to do something like that.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Man. They have their own studio, you said?
I think they're going to rent out sometime.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. I am going to record some more stuff with Justin Stokes this year. Actually, I'm going to go Thursday and record
Justin's
some stuff.
A local artist. He does music and visual art. He's pretty
well
known.
He's in the shop.
Now.
You can find his art at Birmingham Oddities as well.
He's done like flyers for the punk rock flea market.
Okay.
He does the Nashville punk rock flea market flyers. That's cool. Really cool.
Yeah, I'm hoping to record some original lyrics on some of his music he's created, and then also maybe do some, I'm trying to do it. I wanted to do a little Christmas album with him. We wanted to like record
do like a girl group punk rock.
Punk rock kind of Christmas EP of some sort. So we're going to talk about it Thursday and see what we can come up with.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Doing something.
Classic Christmas stuff or like... Ronettes.
Sped up. Yeah, okay. You knew what I was thinking. Yeah.
Gimme Gimme's taking it and turning it into a punk rock.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Making some fast, fun Christmas girl rock music.
Girl rock music. That's cool. That's exciting. Ronettes.
My girls, I was going to say, our daughters are, our oldest is about to be 11 and the little one just turned 6. So I'm always thinking, like, maybe they'll get up there and sing with me. They could just be so cute.
I think you're forming a. Not a Jackson 5 type family, where you're not.
They're too rebellious. They're not going to do what we say.
Yeah, you're not. I don't think you're getting the girls up at like 5 in the morning to carry like cement cinder blocks.
They do like to go across out, the yard. Like, is there a show this weekend? Are we going to do karaoke? Is there going to be something? Who's playing?
Yeah, so. It's funny. Our kids will be with us, and they're just put on their little headphones, and they'll be over there just like laying in a booth looking at a phone while there's like a metal band just destroying the place, and people are beating each other up, and everything's going crazy, and they're just over there with headphones on, not even noticing.
Just another day.
Like another day in paradise for them. They're fine.
That's cool. Do they like... I don't know. Do they understand, like, the punk rock world, or is it just another?
I think they do.
I think so. Alex has been going to shows since she was 4 now, and Yasmina too, pretty much. So, I think they kind of get it.
I think they have a great understanding of what it's like to be around live music, whereas a lot of kids maybe won't ever get to experience that. For them, it'll be very normal.
That's cool. That's a big thing. That's like. Yeah, like, I don't know, growing up, my parents weren't, like, they're definitely not punk rock by any stretch of the imagination, but, like, I don't know, going to even see, like, bigger bands or whatever, go to see Blue Oyster Cult at the fairgrounds or whatever, it was never, like, a big thing. So
I think that's cool. Make them feel like they're a part of our family business, too. They feel like they can sell some art. They can get out there and talk about a show. They'll get out flyers. They definitely feel like they're a part of our stuff.
Yeah, you get a cute kid out there, they're going to be moving some units.
They know that they can...
Alex had set up with me at a show before and outsold me. I was like, this is bullshit.
I believe it. That's exciting. That's cool.
But yeah, at our shows too, we have our kids a lot of times, and our friends will bring their kids, and like the artists will bring their kids, and you'll have like just a bunch of kids running around, off to the side that are just perfectly at home, and there's people watching them, and it's like, it's a nice environment for that because it's small enough, everybody can kind of keep an eye on them, and
nobody's spin kicking
no crowd killing. Anytime I book like hardcore bands that I know that are like a little more violent, I've talked to them like, hey, if you see anybody hitting the crowd, help me out with that, because we have an area for that. Beat each other all you want, right? Do whatever you want. Push mosh, skank,
do
karate, whatever it is. Two stepping, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is, but just be nice to kids because it's all ages.
We have all ages for lots of good reason, but also I always tell people, I'm not responsible.
Yeah, it's all ages, but use your own discretion.
There's a couple bands that, me and the other artists or the other moms or somebody were like, okay, kids are going outside for this one.
Like, Wesley Worthless gets on stage. We're like, yay, get the kids out
of here. Get the kids out of here.
Yeah, we definitely try to maneuver around that, but it's worth it to have our kids with us and other people be there.
Yeah.
It's way better to be all ages than to try and keep them out.
That's like...
I don't mind putting an X on a 16-year-old's hand. I'm like, I'd rather you be in here listening to this music.
That's just to go back to like the next wave of people or kids or whatever. There's not a lot of places that have like all ages dedicated spots, and so I think that's a huge thing.
Brewery is really cool because they still have alcohol.
Yeah,
if you want to get kind of drunk, you can.
Yeah,
but I think they're gonna get their liquor license eventually. But as of right now, we've had like no liquor either, so it's just beer and all ages, which is kind of keeps it under a certain level. So that's been very nice too, because you don't feel like there's anybody just like trashed,
and the kids stumbling, puking all over themselves. Yeah.
Although at this point, sometimes there's so many of the kids, I feel like they might hurt somebody rather than somebody hurt them. There'd be like 10 children, and they're all like running towards us.
Lord of the Flies.
And then one of them is like our youngest just cut her hair all crazy. I'm thinking she comes at you with her.
She just got a stick with a rock on it.
She chopped her hair off and looked like she was going to go play in a folk punk band.
Yeah.
She cut her hair?
Change,
she cut her own hair?
She
was like 6 and just was like, look.
Look what I...
She immediately was like, I'm so punk rock. Like, yeah, totally. Punk rock.
You got a mullet.
You got a mullet.
You gotta give herself an ape drape.
She did.
Ape drape. Love it. Yeah. I remember one of my like... I was going into like 6th grade or something. I don't know why we had like Dirty Santa, and my grandfather gave a nose trimmer set where it's got the different attachments or whatever. And like driving home, we were driving to Mobile from Tampa, and I was just in the back just like doing my eyebrows because it was like eyebrow trimmer. I was like, oh, it just trims it. So just...
Right.
He's got a guard set in.
No fucking eyebrows. Going into sixth grade looking like a lunatic.
I had a rough sixth grade year too.
Yeah, I think you gotta have rough years to enjoy the good years.
Sixth grade is supposed to be a character building year. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're really doing good in sixth grade, you're probably gonna turn out badly.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna have some rough years.
Yeah. Oh shit. I love it. Yeah, we've been going for almost 50 minutes now.
Wow.
Do you guys have any closing words?
Anything we want to plug besides Ladies Night coming up?
What do you got coming up?
Every first Friday of the month, we've got a punk night.
Okay.
It's at 6 o'clock, and we usually have 4 bands for that, sometimes 5.
True Story.
Yeah, okay. Everything at True Story. Every second Saturday, we've got a metal night at 6 o'clock, and usually we have 4 or 5 bands for that. And then usually on the last Saturday of the month, we do a punk rock art show.
Yeah.
And we'll have like 4 to 6 bands usually.
You can check Facebook for all of our events. We obviously tend to do one-offs of things that we find interesting or cool, like we just did the prom.
We did a punk rock and tacos.
We did a punk rock and tacos last year, which was really awesome. I want to do that again this year. We've done themed karaoke's. I've done a bunch of different themed karaoke's, and we just did like an open mic / karaoke. And we're going to do a couple more of those as well.
Maybe do some different themed karaoke's and stuff.
Yeah, so check Facebook for those details.
Yeah, and what, the Danzig guitarist?
Oh, yeah, out? Thank you.
Thank you.
It is, I think it's March 5th.
Yeah.
I have it in front of me. I think if you look on my Facebook, though, yeah, we've got John Christ, the guy who wrote all those good Danzig riffs.
Damn.
Yeah. That got dropped in my lap. I was like, I usually won't do a show if there's an agent involved.
It's just
above my pay
grade. Yeah, I get that for sure. They'll
send me like a list of things.
We don't
have
a green room. I barely have a room.
Yeah, so I was trying to deal with agents, but this got dropped in my lap so easily. My friend Chad Shepard from the Plug Uglies.
He was just
like, "Here you go. How about this?
Yeah.
Would you like to host this?" I was like, "Yes,
absolutely."
That would be if it just makes 40 of my old friends who come to get something signed. really happy. It'll be worth it.
That's cool. It's tough to beat Mother, the riff of Mother. It's iconic.
I've never seen him play it, so I'm excited to watch him do it.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be a fun show.
All right.
I've seen some hired guns do it.
All right. Well, Hannah and Brian, thank you. You had options, but you decided to talk to me. I appreciate it.
It's my little dude.
Thank y'all.
Thanks so much.
I like you telling people we had options.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Hell yeah.